You're listening to EAA Radio, the radio voice of AirVenture.
You're listening to EAA Radio. I'm Farid Guillot. On July 7, 1944, Bernard Harding found himself floating down under a parachute canopy after bailing out of his stricken B-24 bomber over eastern Germany. He landed in a field near Klein-Quinstedt, Germany, and was captured immediately by local townspeople. He was held in the cellar of a farmhouse for about an hour with other American airmen from downed planes. It was there that he buried the wings off of his uniform to conceal his rank. Last month, Harding returned to that village to search for his wings after his stepson, Peter Kelly, encouraged him to go. 65 years later, a warmer reception awaited Harding as his family spent time searching for those buried wings.
Three farmers there, two with pitchforks and one with a gun. Before I even got my parachute taken off. So they were right there, so I had no chance to evade or anything.
And where did they hold you?
Well, they took me to a farmhouse and told me, in fact, it was a young German boy, about 15 or 16, that he could speak some English. So he told me to go down in the cellar, which I did, in the farmhouse, and when I got down there, there were two other young men already there. So anyway, and then after a little while, they came in with a two-wheeled cart, a horse-drawn, and there was a body of an airman on that whose parachute hadn't opened or tangled up or something. So he died when he hit the ground. So we laid him on the ground, and then a little while later, another one came in, but he had been wounded. He had taken a 20-millimeter shell through his thigh, and luckily it missed a bone, but he was in kind of pain with that. So on the parachute harness, we had a first aid kit, and in that kit there was a small syringe of morphine. So we gave that to him. We injected it, so he was out of pain from then on. But then probably an hour later, a van came with two German drivers, and they put us in the van and took us to the air base at Halberstadt in Germany. And then there were probably 100 men they had rounded up, and later on we were put on the train and taken down to Frankfurt for interrogation. And after we were there for a couple of days, we went to the temporary camp and then sent up to Bath, Germany, up on the Baltic Sea, the Stalagluft 1, and that's where we stayed for the duration of the war.
So when you first got to that farmhouse, there were two other airmen that were there. Were they American airmen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're from our group. Yeah, oh, yeah. I didn't know them because they were on different crews. Yes, they were already there. They had been picked up.
And you were on the way to or back from your target that day?
We had already dropped the bombs, and we were on the way back, yes.
Mm-hmm. To England or to another base?
No, to England, yes. Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why this story is so compelling is that so many years later, just earlier this month, you were back in Germany looking for a very cherished item.
That's right.
So the time that you were in the cellar, you had a chance to bury your wings in the cellar there?
Oh, yeah, sure. We were down there probably an hour or more.
And you buried the wings, and you were hoping to come back and get them someday.
Well, I had never thought about it over the years, but then my stepson, who lives in Fairbanks, Alaska, he got interested in the story, and he says, hey, I've been to Germany three or four times, and I've been to Ireland. So he says, hey, why don't we take a trip over there? So he's the one that really started it. Hey, I said, well, it might be fun to go.
The reason that you buried the wings, was that to de-identify yourself, or maybe because you thought you'd come back?
No, I didn't want the civilians to know what position I held in the airplane. So that's the reason I hid them, and so I didn't want to be identified.
And when you went back there, who did you meet?
Well, we had been in correspondence with a young doctor over there, Dr. Uli. Before we got over there, he had interviewed a number of people, some of them the older ones that were around at the time. He was able to establish four houses that they thought might have been the ones, you know, but after 65 years, you know, memories kind of fade. So anyway, we went in the houses, but they didn't, one of them didn't seem to be the right one anyway. I ended up not finding the wings, but no big deal.
When you arrived in the area, did anything look familiar?
Not a bit. No, not a bit.
What conversations did you have with the townspeople? Anybody there from the time that you were there?
Oh, yes. And most of them, there was a number of men that were teenagers at the time. And they had a lot of questions, and I had questions, and we, you know, back and forth. The one boy that had taken the bracelet off of the dead M, and he kept that for 65 years. He asked if I would get it back to some of the family of the young man, and I said, well, we would. So, in fact, 2 days ago, my stepson in Alaska, he lives in Fairbanks, and he took down to the airman's sister, who is 87 years old, down in Anchorage, and he gave it to her 2 days ago.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure to talk with you, sir. I hope you can do it again sometime.
You're listening to EAA Radio.